Hi, I'm Peter Heldenes, and I'm here to have a productive conversation with Mike Vardy.
I'm really excited to bring this conversation to you today, a conversation featuring Peter G, or PG, as we are kind of getting into things, and you'll hear that as we go through the conversation. Of course, one of the key elements to this podcast is to make sure I pronounce the name correctly. Peter's name is difficult to pronounce, so that's one of the reasons why I'm glad he did so off of the top of this episode. Now, Peter was born in picturesque Stellenbosch winelands close to Cape Town, South Africa. An unfazed adventurer, he is the founder of Shoshin Walks, and we touch on that, and Luxury Safari Southern Africa. He believes in personal transformation through the power of nature. And he's delivered his message on battling imposter syndrome on over four continents as a global speaker and facilitator. And he's excited about the launch of his novel, Offsides, which we also get into during this conversation. So let's get to that conversation now. Here we go. Thanks for joining me for a productive conversation with PG, Peter G. You know the drill. Here we go. Peter, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been a long time coming.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
I want to talk a bit about when you sent me the email saying, hey, you know, I'd love to be on the show. I've listened to your podcast. And then, but the subject line is what got me right away. It's like, you know, the idea of it wasn't the subject line. Sorry, it was the first line. Are you Shoshin is what you said right out of the gate. And my immediate reaction was, no, because I don't know what it is. So if you could, because you are a multifaceted individual, but I want to start there. So can you explain what Shoshin is? And not only that, but what led you down the, and I'm going to use a pun here, path towards Shoshin?
Oh, there's a lot there. First and foremost, Shoshin is a Japanese word, and it denotes quite literally a beginner's mindset. Mm-hmm. So it's a beginner's mindset, and the idea is no matter how much experience or how much knowledge you think you have, if you can cultivate a mindset that someone who knows nothing can still teach you something, then you're on the right track. So cultivating that beginner's mindset will just stand you in good stead in any situation. And my personal reference to it is back when I was 21, as a first-time waiter, I was treated with a lot of disdain by the senior waiters in the restaurant, which is unnecessary and unkind, right? And I always remember it because the new guy, everybody was the new guy at some point. So if you could be kind, right, and a pathway to kindness is, well, you know what, let's treat this new person that's new at this with respect because they might know something that I don't, that I've forgotten. And we can all learn from it.
When I explored this a bit deeper, once I read the email and said, okay, I want to talk to Peter. You've got Shoshin Walks, so you've combined this effort of beginner's mind, but also with this idea of going for walks. What was the correlation there that you wanted to forge? Because it to me it was very much like, oh, so the idea of, I mean, going for walks. I go for meditative walks all the time. I love to go and just explore. And some of it is not even exploring new places. Some of it is exploring new places up here while I go down the same familiar path. So that way my brain kind of opens up to, it's not concerned about necessarily where I'm going. It's just concerned about the going. So can we touch on the idea of this Shoshin Walks so that we, you know, the listener is like, okay, so how do these correlate? Like how did Peter say, this is where I want to bring Shoshin. This is an area I want to focus on.
Well, Mike, I'm an entrepreneur, right, among many other things, aspiring writer, starving writer, entrepreneur, all of that stuff. And entrepreneurs often start by solving a problem that they have, like trying to create a thing that doesn't exist, which they want solved. And what's happened to me is I have walked all over the world, right? I'm an adventurer at heart. And I've walked the Inca Trail, the Camino de Santiago. I've gone up Kilimanjaro. I've walked the Himalayas. Every time I go, something shifts. This time and the space of going on this walk shifts for me. And as I got further and further into this journey, I realized You can also shift things through process. Like I would also go, always also go to cultivated courses, and where there's quite a strict protocol that enables magic of transition. And I was thinking to myself, what if I combined the two? Because the walks are organic, the nature, the walk, the effort, and the connectivity of being out there does the work of shifting something. And in the concrete jungle, to a degree, we can also cultivate those environments through intentional structural work. But what if we took a little bit of that structure and combined it with the magic that already happens at the walk and see if we can next level that takeaway? And that's where that came from.
You're an explorer. Like you are not just in terms of the physical sense, but like you said, you're an entrepreneur. You've got a lot of irons in the fire. You explored the Enneagram just before we started talking, like you're a seven and you go to your blog and it's like all the numbers are there. I'm still trying to figure what I am. I come back and forth on it. I want to say I'm a four, but I can't remember offhand. What have you always been
Can
this?
I link it? Can I link it in for you?
Yeah,
Right,
sure. Go ahead.
a seven. Sorry, and I don't want to interrupt, but a
No.
seven
Go ahead.
is an enthusiastic visionary. So we're always onto the next thing. We are born explorers, born adventurers. But a seven doesn't face pain. A seven reframes, makes lemonade out of those lemons, and moves on. So the part of the beginner's mindset, part of the personal journey that fascinates me is of just creating the time and the space and the environment and the community, and just create holding the space for people to go look a bit deeper inside, right? Have this incredible connectivity externally, but also look a bit deeper inside because there's stuff to be looked at, you know, and it's a very personal journey for me.
And we need to make time for that too. How do you make time, and how do you, when you work with others on this and talk to others about, how do you can persuade them that they should take time to do these sort of things? Because we live in a culture that's generally about, when people think about productivity, they think about getting stuff done, and that's not all of it at all. There's so much more. It's a lot more nuanced. So when you're thinking about this, when you're talking with others and speaking, working with others on this, how do you say, okay, well, this word, like this stuff's important, like approaching things with a beginner's mind, looking inward and figuring some of this stuff out is important. It's going to lead you to a better place. How, what are some of the things that you do to try to persuade people or at least show them that, hey, this is worth investing your time and energy in?
I rely heavily on cliches, Mike. Cliches will save you.
Gotcha.
I'm being facetious, of course.
Well, what do they say? What's the cliché is like, if it's not cliches, if it's not, it's a cliché because it's true, right? Like, so it's very, there's a lot there.
Trust the process,
Yeah.
right? And in South Africa, one of our beloved games here is cricket. I mean, I don't know if you folks over there, but you might be slightly familiar from the mothership. But cricket has got two formats, a bunch of them. But there's a sort of this cliche in South Africa that it's not a 5-day game. A 5-day game is the most boring sort of format of the sport, where only the purists really enjoy it. So, and then you've got a 1-day game, which is sort of the more instant gratification format of the sport. So what I would say in our context, it's not a 1-day game, right? Like, trust the process. It does take time. Be kind of yourself. All of that, all of those, you know, are part of the vernacular around this. But fundamentally, for me, for you, for all of us, we are nowhere close to the finished product now. You are doing all of this work, all of this productivity work, all of this mindfulness exploration, and you are a million miles away from where you could go, as am I, as is anybody. So when you start scratching the surface, the onions just starts peeling, man. And it can be a scary journey, but also a joyous journey. So all I try to do is cultivate a gentle environment to start on that process. And that's really where I want to play. People have now come on two and three and four walks with me after starting this business a year ago. And because they're really buying into what this does, because it's their work. I just create the space, you know?
So you've only been doing this for a year. The business has only been around for a little over a year.
Yeah, about a year and a half.
Wow.
It's been a slow start because, you know, I was about to launch my first trip up Kilimanjaro, and then, you know what? nobody went anywhere.
Yes.
For
yes.
about 12.
Yep, that's true. That, I mean, that's fascinating. I mean, the fact that, I mean, you've had so many people go on these, especially during the times that we've been in, right, as of late. I'd love to hear your thoughts on uncertainty, speaking of which, like the idea of, because you just mentioned like where this is a journey and we're on a journey and trusting the process, but there's a lot of uncertainty there. How do you navigate uncertainty?
Look, I think there's a lot of literature around right now around sort of the 5 a.m. club-ish idea of a daily ritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the daily meditative, mindful, journaling, intention-setting ritual. For me, that's been a game changer. Focusing on daily wins,
mm.
as opposed to letting go. I'm a planner. I'm a, you know, BHAG, you know, vision. Let's forge forward towards the 5-year goal. But that's been snuffed away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we those things are no longer. So what I know is what I know what I want it to look like in 10 years time, in 30 years time. And then I kind of skip the 1 year from now step because we just don't know what that looks like. And I focus right back into granular level on a daily wins, really. Every day brings a victory if you let it, you know?
You've got a book that you wrote too. Not just, you've written other books. You've written Headlines from the Future. You co-wrote that, right? But also a novel. And
yeah.
So you're, again, when I said earlier, like you've got a lot going on. What was the impetus to, I mean, is this part of that exploration, the impetus to write a novel? Was that part of it? Or is it just something that, did you map, you said you're a planner. Did you map that out? Was that part of the plan to do now? Or was it just something that you always wanted to do?
Always. I was showing a group of people I was speaking to last week,
mm-hmm.
a comic book that I wrote when I was 10 years old in 1985.
Wow.
So this is literally, where are we? 36-year labor that's come to come for completion. It's the number one thing on the 41 things to do before I die list that I've never actually been able to bring over the line. And by setting intention on a daily basis, I've been able to get this done.
What did you do? What was your intention? Because I think a lot of people, I mean, I know I'm a writer, and there are days where writing is it just flies and just goes, and there's other days where you're like, nope, it's not there. How did you make sure that you made measured progress on it consistently?
Business lessons, huh? Yeah. Mike, it's quite incidental. I don't know if you're familiar with Jim Collins's stuff. You must
yep.
be
good to great. Yep.
And he's got the 20-mile march, which is the Amundsen versus Scott march to the South Pole. Mm-hmm. That's one of his parables. And it's basically about Amundsen won because every day he went 20 miles. Every day there was a rhythm, rain or shine, good or bad. And so Stephen King, and I've been doing a lot of research, I mean, to put time to research this world. But Stephen King specifically would tell you, right. People would say, right. And the switch for me was write badly.
Yeah.
I did two things. I changed my mindset around writing badly. Like, you know, let's just go. Let the characters take off. Don't worry about where we're going. Don't worry about your idea of what this looks like. Write badly. And then I changed my mindset, and that's where the daily stuff again helped around the rewrite. Because when I've tried to do this in the past, I got stuck on fixing it. Because mm-hmm. your first draft is terrible. It's always terrible. Your second draft is doable, and the third draft starts to look like something you can show people. So write badly. And don't be afraid of the rewrite. And that's the shift that I did this time. So I actually enjoyed the rewrite because I could sit to these characters and make them better and flesh them out. And yeah. So it was just it's a paradigm shift in the way I tackled the project this time. And this is the, I don't know, the 12th stab at getting this done in the last 12 years, I suppose. Every few years I've had a go.
What, with all the stuff you've got going on, Do you have like a set type of day? Like, do you have a day that's fairly like, this is what my day looks like? Or are your days really dynamic? Like, are they, I mean, obviously you're a planner and you love to have like framings to help you make decisions, like these anchors. But do you have like a this is what my day looks like pretty much every day? Or is it pretty dynamic?
Listen, my dogs need to be fed at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. So I kind of anchor around that.
And that's about it.
well, That means if I want to do my meditation and I want to write for half an hour and I want to still get in bed and cuddle with my wife and my boys, I need to almost get up at 4:30 at latest 5 o'clock to get my stuff done, then feed the dogs, then make some tea, then get back in bed and cuddle before we start dressing everybody to go to school and all of that stuff. So the early morning start is very much a habit. And then in the evenings, I try to go to bed early. We like to drink a glass of wine, of course, in the evenings, but try to moderate that so you go to bed early and get the early morning done. The early morning is the productive time. I go outside. Last year we worked a lot in the house as we went into virtual environments, but I go to my office between 8:30 and 12:30 every day. I take the kids to school, I go to the office, and I have 4 hours of in-office time where I can do what I call functional work. I can do I can do operational work at home, right? Like that beat itself. But when I wanted to do, sort of advancement work, I need to go to the office. I need to get out of my home environment where I'm just there and I'm in that zone. So I choose locations depending on what I'm doing. But yeah, so my habit kind of terminates at 1 p.m. every day, and then kicks off again at 6 p.m. So I suppose my time that I'm not quite sure what I do with it is between one and six.
And but nonetheless, you've got framing throughout the course of the day, so your day has a certain rhythm to it. You talked about rhythms earlier, the idea of rhythm to it.
Always. The structures will set you free.
And that's, see, this is the thing that I find fascinating, is that so many people are resistant to structure. They're like, I don't want to. It's very strange with their time, they're resistant to it because they want free time. And I'm like, you need, in order for you to have free time, you need to have structure in the first place. And then when you have free time, hopefully that structure helps you decide what to do with that free time, right?
Ask them if they like the line in the middle of the road, Mike.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true.
Ask them, do you want no line? Like it helps you. You don't have to worry about where to drive. It frees you up to do a thousand other things because you know where to drive. I mean, that's what structure is. It's a line in the road that tells you where to go.
And the right structure isn't so rigid that it keeps you from doing stuff. It's actually,
No.
I've often said frameworks foster freedom. If you have that in place, then it's going to give you the freedom to do the stuff you want to do. You've got this novel out. You're doing these walks. You also have other elements. What are some of the other elements of your business that you're working on? You've got a lot of other irons in the fire. What are some of the other things you're working on?
Well, just to clarify, there's another Peter Geldenaes that shows up when you Google me. So he's the futurist with that stuff. So that's his world, right? My world is luxury African safaris. With my wife, we run a luxury. So we bring people to photo safaris in Kenya, Tanzania, South Africa. And that's our biggest business. That's the size of a business. The Shoshone Walks business is a fledgling business that was born 2 years ago out of a Billy Joel inspired strategic day in Philadelphia. That's a story by itself. The Enneagram stuff is a personal journey, and the book was a product of time because all of these business activities were curtailed, and I was given the gift of time. We were all given the gift of time, right?
It's true.
There was this massive gift, and I was not going to waste it. That's the one thing I said to myself.
And now that it's done, you realize the value of that gift. What's next? What are you gonna work on? Are you gonna do another one? Are you gonna like, what are some of the other
Oh,
areas
I'm
you're gonna
going to do a
explore?
series. I'm going to do a series because now I've cracked the code. It's like running a marathon. The first time you do it, you're like, holy, oh, how the hell am I going to do that? But once you've done it, you're like, okay, there's a technique to this. There's a way to train for it. There's a way to pitch up for it. There's a way to get it done, right? So now I've cracked the code. I'm gonna punch out 10 of these guys in the next. I said 10 in 10 years, but I think I could be more productive than that even because I write easily now, and now that I know I can rewrite with discipline. I'm quite confident that I've. It's the first step, right? It's the first step that's been done.
When you are on some of these Shoshone walks, are you, what's going on in your head? Like, is it more about is it about being present in that moment? I just want to shift gears back to that for a second. Is it about being present in that moment, or is it is there a lot going on when you're doing these either on your own or with other people? Like, there's got to be some stuff that's happening that's, like you said, fueling some of this other stuff that you've been working on, some of your other business, some of the stuff with your family.
Well, it's both, isn't it, Mike? Mm-hmm. So when I facilitate the walk on day three, usually I ask people to spend the morning in silence. Nobody talk. I'm giving everybody permission to not talk at all and just walk in silence. And dude, it's magic, right? And what do you do with that space? So you can be fully present and just completely soak in where you're at, mm-hmm. or you can take that space and kind of work it out in your head, whatever you're working out. And there's no right answer here. For me, I'm a fan of this technique called Wim Hof breathing. It's like shamanic breathing, breath hold. So I will find a spot on top of a hill with the ocean, and I will do a 20-minute breathing exercise either by myself or with those of the group that want to do it. And it is apex stuff. It is unbelievable. So I'll take the space for that, and I'll take the space to be fully present. But what I wanted to tell you is on the Camino de Santiago, mm-hmm. it's inherent. The Camino is the way. That's literally what it means in Spanish.
There was a movie called The Way that Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez were in. Yep, I remember that movie.
I would love to have a conversation with Emilio Estevez because that movie completely reflects what the experience actually is. But the point of that movie, Mike, and the point of life is there's a cathedral over there. It's 800 kilometers, 500 miles away. And you got to have this disciplined march towards that cathedral. But you can't be stuck on getting to the cathedral because it's not about the cathedral. Mm-hmm. It's not about that pot of gold. It's about every single day along the way brings its own magic and its own glorious reward. And so what the cliche... Again, let me go back to cliches. Mm-hmm. The cliche about the Camino is it's the way. It's not about the walk. It's not about getting there is great, but that's not what it's about. It's about getting there.
Well, and the thing is to your point about the walk as well as the book is when you finish something, and this is, we know this, you finish it, you feel great, but then you eventually that feeling wears off and then you're like, well, now what's next, right? So it's like you said, it's the process, it's the pursuit, it's the journey, because when we were talking about time, and I was talking to a friend about this the other day, I said, you know, it's about the what we do with it along the way, because when we're out of time, we're out, like that's just it, and we don't necessarily know what that last moment is going to be. So we might as well make the most of every moment that we can along the way. And I think people get stuck with, like, I've got to get as much done as possible.
Quantity has got nothing to do with it, right? Mm-hmm. It's to me, it's about, and again, my book is about this. The characters in my book is about, is your ladder leaning against the right wall, mm-hmm. right? Are you clear on where you're going? And then once you're clear on where you're going, kind of work relentlessly and passionately towards getting there. But you know what? Don't be so obsessed and preoccupied with that you forget to be here.
Right.
To take this moment right now. And the Shoshin mindset, the beginner's mindset, is the curious mindset of all of the beautiful gifts that are right in front of you. And you just open up the channel to receive them, right? And that's I think that's my obsession is just opening up a channel of both. It's a test of true intelligence, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Or true maturity is embracing those two opposite concepts. How can you be crystal clear about where you're going and what you want your life to look like, what you want the end to look like envisioning your funeral, like Kavi says, or like envisioning your 80th birthday party, and being crystal clear. And then park it.
Yep.
Park it. Forget about it. Then forget about it. Be crystal clear. But then come back. Come back right to right here, right now, and be fully here. And that's what the Camino teaches you, right? Or all these walks, but the Camino specifically is this joyful journey of being present. And that's why I love these walks, and that's why I want to offer that gift to people, is it's just really allows for you to sink back into the here and now. Your mind will go nuts. Your monkey mind will take you all over the place.
Yeah.
Right? The monkey mind, especially if you're a seven, or people like us who've got, when you do 400 podcasts, dude, you've got a lot of stuff going on yourself, right? It's proper. But yeah, that's fine. Go on a walk. Have your mind go in a million directions. At some point, it will slow down. At some point, it's inevitable. It's inevitable. You can't fight it because it's organic and it's beautiful.
One of the things that I've been doing as part of my daily walks is ever since I got obsessed with ducks, and I don't remember how at this point. I know I journaled it somewhere, but the idea of duck, when we hear the word duck, we don't just think of the waterfowl. We think of like get out of the way. But the term duck actually meant to plunge or pursue or go after. So it's very much a, it's opposing forces to a degree. But I would walk, and where I live is a very, like, it's a walkable city. And I walked to this creek, and there are ducks there. And I can spend like hours there. Like, I can just be there with them. And I don't, it's interesting because as much as we all have going on, there's something about nature and there's something about that wonder. If you're open to it, and that's the thing, right? There's so many people that are like, if you're open to it, like I will watch these ducks. And I actually sometimes I'll bring my camera so I could take pictures. Like I'll do things to keep engagement happening because sometimes there are the other trappings of life that kind of try to pull you out of it. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to fall prey to that. So let me bring a camera and then I can film this so I can still be with them, but also, be. I'm doing things a little bit differently. And I swear every time I go see the ducks, yeah, it's like it's not like I'm seeing a duck for the first time, but I'm seeing that moment with those ducks for the first time. And I think once you start to put that kind of stuff together, when it allows you to like every moment is a different moment. And if you think about it that way, I think being more present allows you to experience that fully because if every moment wasn't its own unique moment, we would all constantly be having deja vu. We would all be, it'd be constantly having, like, hasn't this already? It's not. Every day is different. And there's this great book by Oliver Berkman that I've been reading called 4,000 Weeks. And by the time this episode comes out, I'll definitely have finished it. But the idea of time management for mortals is what he calls it. And he's like, I mean, it's about, for me, it's about the task at hand, and the time on hand is honestly, I wouldn't say it's secondary, but it goes along with it. In fact, I think Berkman says in the book, he goes, "What if time isn't happening to us? What if we are happening to time? Like, what if we're the?" And I think the more time you think about this stuff, like, and walks, I tell you, a lot of this stuff comes to me when I'm on walks. The better. And I'm actually the type of person where if I'm on a walk and if I have this profound idea, I'll just stop and I'll write it down for a second because then I can be back in the moment again. Then I can just go, okay, it's there. Like you said, park it and then I can move forward.
Did you ever watch that Michael Keaton movie, Duplicity,
Yes, I
where he clones himself?
multiplicity. Yes. Yes.
Is it Multiplicity?
Yes, but
Sorry,
you're
yes.
right. The law,
Multiplicity.
it's hilarious because there is this. It teaches you, it should teach you lessons, but most people don't look at it that way. They look at it, but there's a lesson in that film.
He clones himself and he doesn't solve his problem. He's just, and he comes back to, he becomes the good husband and he gets the stuff done because it's just a matter of intention.
Yeah, well,
That's the message of the movie,
and the other message is that the more he cloned himself, the quality of the clones decreased as well, right? So there's that too, which I think is a matter of attention. The more you split your attention, the less you're going to be able to
Great
give
movie.
yourself to that. But most, I love it when I can find a film or a story or whatever, like the movie About Time, which is
Oh, brilliant.
Because the movie starts off, and I mean, if you've not watched this movie yet, spoilers, the movie starts off where you're like, oh, this is a romantic comedy. This is what it is. Now, like, wait a minute, he's a time traveler? Now this is about, now it just, it is, it's a movie I think that crosses over between several genres throughout the course of the film. I watch it every year, and I mean, and then the lesson at the end.
Rachel McAdams, dude. I can watch anything she's in. Anyway, it's
Fellow Canadian. So the You're going to be writing more books. You're going to be, I mean, what are you adding more walks to Shoshin Walks? Are you focusing on the ones that you have, like different destinations?
It's been interesting because what I've built, because of it, I had to keep it local because of what's happened
right
in terms of access. And I've actually got people that really want my local product, but because I've gotten so busy with the book and with the international walks, all the other stuff that I'm doing, I'm having to choose where to put my energies. And it comes back to focus.
Right.
And it comes back to choosing your priorities. So my intention is to focus on those top three walks in the next 3 years. I have two walks in South Africa that I'll keep on offering, but Kilimanjaro, the Inca Trail, and the Camino are all walks with the potential to offer transformative experiences. And there are others, of course, all over the world that I'm going to explore in time. But for now, I'm going to go back to those walks and see if I can offer that experience to others. And then we will build on that over time. And the idea is to eventually, I suppose, always become the Uber of walks. Like my vision is eventually I will, you know, what they do with Calm and Mind Valley and these kind of environments, bring in people that feel like I do and have them help me cultivate the experience in a way that I don't even need to be present. You know, I can give you a little bit of a 5-day process and you can go off and you can have my voice in your ear if you wanted to, or read a book or whatever, and go for it. I'm sorry, but my dog just ran into the room.
That's okay, no problem. We're pretty much wrapped up at this point, because I want to be respectful of your time and the listeners' time here as well. But where can people keep up with you and your work, and where can they get the new book?
So the book is on Amazon, and I'll send you the link so you can put it in your backlinks. It's on Amazon. It's on Kindle. You can buy it on Amazon print on demand. It's also available on my website, pgtops.com/offsides.
Yep, offsides. That's
pgtops.com.
Offsides, yeah. A story of romance, rugby, and chasing your dreams.
That is correct, sir. It was a lot of fun to write this stuff. And I won't give it away, but there's some saucy stuff in that, which was awkward when my mom was one of the proofreaders, but we won't go into it. So you can find the book on pgtops.com/offsides. The walks are on shoshinwalks.com, which is my business website. PGTops is my personal stuff that I do. And then I'm LinkedIn under, you can find my LinkedIn, PG Geldenhuis. You can find me on Facebook under that same handle. And I'll supply you with those backlinks as well.
Thanks for having a productive conversation with me today. It's been a lot of fun. Now go play with your dog.
Yeah, he's just woken up. Sorry about that. It's all my priorities. Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks for having me, and take care, bud.
Big thanks to Peter for joining me today. Again, a conversation that was months in the making. I'm glad we finally were able to deliver it to you today. And if you enjoyed this conversation and want to hear more of them, then make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You can do that in the app you're using right now, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you are listening to this podcast. Hit the subscribe button. That way you don't miss a single episode of what's to come and can easily access the archives. Speaking of what's to come, Jesse Meekum's joining me next week. He is the creator, the founder of You Need a Budget, which is a program that I use and a philosophy that I follow. We get into the philosophy during our conversation, amongst other things. You don't want to miss that episode. So hit the subscribe button. That way you won't. And I also encourage you to support the show, not just by leaving a rating and review of the podcast, but also to check out what our sponsors have to offer. You can find all of our sponsors at productivityist.com/podcast. Sponsors, including the sponsors mentioned during this conversation. That's it for this time. I'm Mike Vardy, the host of A Productive Conversation with Mike Vardy, reminding you to stop doing productive and start being productive. See you later.